Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. If you want to write to us, you go to Linda at KCNR1460.com. March 8th. April 8th. I've lost a month. April 8th. And joined here by Bad Bob.
And good morning. Yeah, it's trying to get used to the change in calendars. It's going by fast.
Yeah, you know, next thing we'll know, it's going to be like, you know, June.
Takes me half a month when I write checks. Yes, I am old-fashioned. I like to write paper checks.
I do that.
I don't like to do stuff online. Yeah. I don't like it. I know everybody says, it's so efficient. No. I want to write a check and go deposit it. And anyway, so to put the four on there, but takes me half of a month to put four on there instead of three.
Well, speaking of efficient, is my sweetheart.
Did you say efficient or efficient?
Efficient.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. But I do have several things to share with you regarding fundraising events coming up. There's a whole bunch.
A plethora.
Let's talk about the first of the plethora. And that is tonight is the 9th Annual Salmon Feed, April 9th. That is for the Riverview Sunset Rotary Club. That is going to be great. That's at the Holiday Inn, starting tonight at 5:30.
It's April 9th. It's tomorrow night.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
You said tonight.
Well, I was thinking the 9th was Thursday. But anyway, so April 9th, stop me in my flow.
Well, I'd hate for people to show up for the salmon and it isn't there.
Well, they can
talking about it for 3 days.
They can have cocktails tonight and have salmon tomorrow night. How's that? So you come two nights in a row. Like we're going to do with Anselmo's. Next weekend, we're going to be there the 15th and the 16th.
That's
so,
true.
Anyway, so tomorrow night, that's right. You just got through saying it's the 8th. All right, you stopped me right in my flow. Now I'm all verklempt.
We don't want that.
I'm clutching my poils and I'm verklempt. Okay, the dog kennels at Haven Humane, they're getting a facelift. The Junior Haven Humane Group is helping to brighten up all the dog kennels by painting them with colors of the rainbow. And they're using that mythic. It's not mystic, it's mythic.
Paint.
I say that. Mythic paint, which is by going to be donated by the Cascade Paint and Supply in Reading.
Cascade Paint, it's here for them. Hey, you know, it's a family-owned business. We like those guys.
Now, don't forget tomorrow, April. I had to get down there today. And register you for Walk a Mile.
That's right. Walk a Mile in her shoes. This is a way of raising money for the women's shelter there. The thing about it is that, you know, all of a sudden there's politics raised and things about, you know, questions about it. But, you know, let's get past any of that and say, what's it for? The shelter has lost over $300,000 in funding due to the fact that the California politicians in Sacramento can't handle money and should be thrown out of office, every one of them. But beyond that, it's a way for us to help in our community. And that Walk a Mile is pretty good.
Yeah, it starts Sunday at 10 o'clock. But tomorrow is pre-registration at 9 a.m., beginning at 9. The registration starting at 9 on the event of the day. But tomorrow from 3 to 7, need to speed, you'll be able to pre-registration. Now, tomorrow, what?
Saturday
is the walk. Yeah. Tomorrow's the pre-registration.
Just stick to the board.
Am I confusing the room? But anyway,
board,
so Carl, we have such a generous outpouring of listeners and wonderful friends that have supported Carl, and I think you're up to $450.
Yeah, it's something like that. I think I just got offered $50 more yesterday to click my heels and go, there's no place like Home Helpers.
That's so right. You get to finish the walk.
To find out.
You have your May West hat, your pearls, your boa, and you still have not tried on your shoes yet. That's okay. Very, very important.
The shoes will go on today.
Now, you're not going to believe this one. Maybe we should wait till after the break. This one, I have to share this. I think this is kind of a kind of funny and kind of cute and at the same time, it's kind of weird.
We can do that after the break, because after that, then I'm going to. I've just sitting down and made a few observations of things that have been happening over the last couple of weeks that I'd like to talk about and get their observations on them too. Anything from our mayor to our president. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us right after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. No matter where you go, you can't hide.
Well, you just got a little spurt of energy here.
Well, you know, yeah.
If you're just tuning in, today is the 8th. the 8th of April. See what you did to
you
me?
Know,
you started
I realized when I start off the wrong way.
That was it.
That's the only thing we can do is let's just start the show over. All right?
We had a doggy that kept us up all night. What can I tell you? Today's going to be a high of 66. Beautiful northwest wind between 5 and 11 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with the low around 41. We currently 44 degrees here. It was beautiful yesterday. It was warm and wonderful, and we're going to have another day like that. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now, I wanted to talk to you quickly about something that was really funny to me. It kind of struck me funny because I came from the generation of Barbie dolls. And I had Barbie and Midge and Skipper and Ellen and Ken. And Midge. We had Midge. But now the plastic princess of girlhood dreams has moved on to higher powers. Because now you're going to, if you're a Barbie collector, you're going to meet Reverend Barbie. That's right, Reverend Barbie, a fully outfitted little blonde priest ready to bless you and maybe marry you from Bratz Dolls.
Maybe she can marry Ken and Mark.
Well, I'm not saying that. I wasn't even going to go there, but I just...
What about little Moolah Barbie?
Episcopal Priest Barbie is what she's called, and she has her arms spread out, and she's doing... The guys are laughing, but I think it's... Is it kind of just a strike you funny?
Yeah, I don't expect Barbie to be a reverend. Does she have a little white collar around her neck?
Yeah.
Well, there's a deafening sound of applause in here. Yeah.
Well, her her vestments include various colored chasubles.
Did you read this someplace? It's like a joke thing.
Nope.
Huh? I mean,
black clergy shirt with white collar.
Well, wait a minute.
Neat skirt and heels. A laptop with prepared sermon.
It's got a prepared sermon.
A laptop with a prepared sermon, and a miniature genuine Bible. Genuine.
Okay. Now,
apparently, a devotee of smells and bells, of high church tradition, the Reverend Barbie even has a tiny thurible, a metal vessel, and used for sending clouds of incense. We have to ignore him.
Okay, we've had enough.
I'm
waiting for a Barbie in a burka.
She's got a Facebook page, and Fisher plans to expand the line to include. An African American Bishop Barbie. No, wait! Burka Barbie, baby, down the block. Okay. A Hispanic Ken doll who will be cathedral dean, and an African American friend, Stephen, will be deacon. Barbie's little sister, Kelly, will be an acolyte.
This is from Fisher?
I guess Bratz. Bratz has taken over Barbie, I suppose. But I mean, you know, I just had to share that. I think it's kind of, you know.
I think it's really weird. No, I mean, I really do. I mean, I think it's weird. I mean, religion is great. You know, we're religious people, believe in God. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, Reverend Barbie, let's go out and buy one. They may be worth a lot of money here in a few years.
Hey.
Okay. You know, before we come on to our, you know, a little more serious note here, is yesterday, if you did not have an opportunity to hear the show, you missed out. Colonel Tim Garrity, former commander of the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit that was in Beirut that was attacked October 23rd, 1983. 241 Marines and sailors were killed that day. The largest loss of life since D-Day at Iwo Jima. Yeah, for the military. We've got that archived on our website, freefireradio.com. He talked a lot, but one of the things he talked about was how... Hezbollah played such a big part in that whole series over there and others, and that how Hezbollah has moved into Venezuela with Iran making the with Iran and Venezuela making these arms deals and oil deals, and Russians building an arms plant, by the way, down in Venezuela. So now you have Hezbollah in Venezuela. And if you add the narco-terrorists or the narco-traffickers along with Hezbollah, the narco-traffickers, of course, move at will across our border. What else can they bring in? It was a great show. Go to our archives at freefireradio.com, and it'll be there. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to introduce our guest. And it's, really interested in her topic. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Imagine.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Carl and the Bot. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee of any type that you want, made very well by very knowledgeable people. And you've got a place there for your Wi-Fi and your computer to sit down and enjoy the drink. That's Tobacco and Brew, so much more than a tobacco emporium.
We have a very special month here in the month of April. It's Autism Awareness Month. And we have an authoress in the house right now that's in our station, by the way, in the house, in our studio. Very, very proud to welcome Carolyn Corum. Good morning.
Hi.
And you have a book that you are going to be signing that you have recently has been released by Tate Publishing called Buried Treasure.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And this is your, did you say this is one of three books?
It's my second book.
Your second book. It says under the Buried Treasure, Finding Hope and Understanding Autism. So tell us a little bit about your book and your background.
Oh, well, I'm actually the mom. I just found out I actually am the mom of two children with autism. My second child just got diagnosed back in January, and it's just been a real journey for us. It's definitely been a time of learning to understand each other, and it's something we've discovered that when it comes to autism, the divorce rate is extremely high, that it's like between 60 to 80% of the people who have a child with autism have a tendency to get divorced. And so my family together, we feel like it's really important to tell all the families out there that have a child with autism the importance of staying together.
Can you tell our audience exactly what autism is?
Sure. There's still so many things that we don't know about autism, but there's three main things that they use to determine autism. The first category is that they use repetitive movement, and that's things like it's called referred to as stimming, where they take things and sometimes they'll play with a car and then suddenly pick it up and just play with the wheels and just sit there and stare at the wheels. And they can do that for like hours sometimes, children with autism. Sometimes they'll pick up a book. Instead of just reading the book, they'll take the sheets and they'll just kind of wave them back and forth in front of their eyes. And that's one of the first categories that they look for as far as autism. The second category is speech delay. And the third category is lack of socialization. So you have to get so many points in each area in order to get a full diagnosis of autism.
Okay. So when is your book signing?
I have three book signings coming up this month. I have one at Barnes & Noble, April 10th, and that's this Saturday, 12 to 2. And then I have one April 21st, and that one's going to be more of for adults. It's going to have some people who specialize in autism there. There's going to be Heidi Hartigan, who owns the Speech Therapy Center, and we're going to have Stacy, who owns the Occupational Center, and we have Monica from RAL. They're going to be there to answer questions, where the one coming up this Saturday is going to be a real fun kids event. We're going to have people there who do balloons, and we're going to do a skit and pull kids from the audience and have them come up and sing and dance. And that one's going to be this Saturday at Barnes & Noble. That one's going to be very kid-oriented. the one on Bibles, Books, and More, April 21st, which is actually a Wednesday, 11 to 2, that's designed for parents to come. And then there's going to be a very informal one at Bog Bean, April 24th, 11 to 1.
So your book, Buried Treasure, is geared towards children, is for children to read, to help them interact and to discover how to deal with a sibling.
It's kind of designed for the whole family. I mean, it's written as a children's book. It has illustrations. But it's really also, my husband and I are hoping that it's going to be kind of for a family, to encourage families and to give some of the, even the parents who are reading it to the kid, some hope and a little bit of understanding. In the very back, we have a map that just says, treasure map on the back. And then this kind of gives you certain guides. It's, you can look at it, and it's really colorful and cute, but it also kind of talks about the different red flags to look for.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah. The red flags to look for, we have mentioned, is speech delay, and then echolalia. That's when the kids keep repeating what you're saying instead of saying their own thing. They'll just repeat back what you're saying. Instead of answering your question and saying yes or no, they'll just say, do you want a cookie? Instead of saying, yes, I do want a cookie. Another thing is the stemming, like I mentioned before, and then lack of eye contact. That's also a big one. Another one that to look for is if you call their name and they don't look at you. A child after the age of one, if you call their name, should turn and look at you. If they don't turn and look at you, that's kind of one of the first signs that you'll see that there could be a red flag there for autism.
Or it could be a hearing thing, too, both of which are red flags. So.
Yeah.
So at the age of one, they should be turning and looking at you.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking your calls here, 605-4567. We have to take a hard break at 7:30. We do have a few questions.
We will continue on.
Yeah, and we're talking about the book Buried Treasure. Our guest is Carolyn Corum, who's going to have a book signing. This is her second book out. We'll talk about your other book. We're going to talk about some signs, and we're going to go to some questions from the audience.
Yeah, we've still got a couple minutes here. So your first child was diagnosed with autism, and now your second child has been diagnosed with autism.
Yes.
When do these diagnoses usually take place? I mean, can a child go for 5 or 6 years without being diagnosed, or is it?
It can happen.
Because it's different, I guess, different amounts or different, you know, how the different levels of things that are bothering them or that they're having.
There's a lot of times it does go unnoticed. My second child with autism, I would have never guessed that he had autism if it wasn't for the fact that he had a sibling. People were really looking at him, because if you're a sibling of a child with autism, then your chances are 1 in 4 of getting autism. So if you're a sibling, people look at you really early. But typically they do the ADOS to determine autism. It should be done before the age of 3, so sometime between 2 and 3.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk some more about this. In fact, of the fact that there's been more autism diagnosed in the last, 10 years and 50 years before that. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're discussing autism and learning more every minute.
And our guest this morning is an author, actually a registered nurse. Very interesting. We'll get to that, to your history in a minute. Carolyn Corum, who's got a book signing. Her book is Buried Treasure. But let's go to the phones right now. Good morning, Donna. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. I can't wait to buy the book. I'm a proud grandmother of an 8-year-old little autistic boy, and I knew in my heart he was autistic when he was 9 months. He had to be force-fed. There was no eye contact and nonverbal. He was born in Europe, so I had my daughter move in with us here in Shasta County so we could utilize the far northern regional. And I have to tell you, if you met my grandson today, he is high-functioning. You would not really know unless there was something that really perturbed him. Then you go, oh, that little boy's autistic. But it's really, really important, early intervention, and I can't stress it enough, because these people at Far Northern just brought to life a spark in the little boy's eyes that I did not ever think would ever be seen.
No, Donna, is the family pulled together here? Because one of the things Carolyn said is that a lot of times this can lead to schisms in the family.
Oh, no. We all rallied around, and I'll tell you, we all learned. We would go to more than words. We'd go to all these meetings that we could to find out how to communicate and work with him. And for my daughter to be worn out and exhausted by all the experiences of raising a special needs child, we would take over and give her a rest. I mean, it's just been a real blessing. And I have to tell you, I love him more than I ever thought I could love a human being.
Oh, Don, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Carolyn, we talked about, one of the things we talked about is, has autism been diagnosed more in the last, like, I don't know, last 10 years? It seems like we're hearing more and more about it.
Yes. Yes, autism is definitely on the rise, but it's not quite as scary as the numbers show. Some of the reason is that the way that they diagnose autism has completely changed over the years. Back when I was in school, I graduated from nursing school back in 99, and the way they described autism when I was in school was like severe retardation, almost never spoke, and it was really very, very scary back in school the way they described autism. But now to get diagnosed with autism has changed a lot, and so they don't look for someone who's like completely, almost completely nonverbal. They don't look for someone who has like absolutely no social skills. Now they're looking for people who have just a little bit in each one of the three areas. And so it's not, the diagnosis has definitely changed. I mean, there's definitely a growing way that kids are becoming less social. A lot of kids are having more and more speech delays. But it's not quite as scary as it seems, because the way that they're diagnosing it isn't nearly as severe as they did back a few years ago.
How old was your child, the first child? How old was he or she when they were diagnosed?
James was very close to turning 3.
With the diagnosis finding out earlier, do the children, you know, with treatment and everything, are they able to overcome this?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I believe that most of the children with autism will probably have autism their entire lives. It's, their mind works differently. Like, you take a look at my son, Keith. People are astounded when they find out that he has autism, and he's the one of the kind of kids that actually makes other kids look bad. He's the one that is, I mean, he's not even 3 yet, and he can spell elephant. He can count to 100. He can name his continents. he is almost too intelligent, and that was one of the big defining characteristics. One of the things, the red flags for him, is that he was knowing all these things that he wasn't supposed to know. And so a lot of times it's a huge spectrum. And so a lot of times you think of a child with autism, if you don't know it, someone who's like practically nonverbal, someone who almost never smiles, someone who won't cuddle. Well, those things aren't necessarily true, because it's a huge spectrum. In fact, people are constantly saying, well, how can Keith have autism? He's nothing like James. And it's like, well, it's a spectrum.
Uh-huh. Now, what, you know, I understand is it was 1 in 100?
Did I hear that? You hear different numbers all the time. I know that it's much higher in boys than girls, and I've heard it's like 1 in 98 boys, but I think it's like 101 in 105 or something, children in general or something like that.
They have some form of autism.
Okay,
yeah.
Quickly before our next break, we have a question. Is Asperger's syndrome and full? What's the difference between Asperger's and the full autism?
There's a lot of debate about that. Some people just consider Asperger's basically a very high-functioning autism, where they don't have nearly the kind of speech delays. But with Asperger's, it's not so much that they're not able to talk, but it's more about their social skills and that they have a difficult time. A lot of times Asperger's are highly intelligent, but they do not catch on to social cues. I read one article about how they asked this one girl about something about chemistry, because she loved chemistry, and the person asking her actually got up and walked out the door, and she just kept talking. She didn't even realize that they weren't listening, that they were paying any attention. They just got up and left out and walked out the door, and she's just continuing on her conversation. And that's a lot of kind of Asperger's, that they have the ability to speak. They're usually very intelligent, but they just can't seem to pick up on social cues.
Wow. Well, you know, Carolyn, we sure appreciate you coming by. And tell us again where you're going to be for your book signing.
Okay. This Saturday, I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble, April 10th, 12 to 2, and that's going to be the big kid event where we're going to have the skits and songs, and we're going to have a couple people come and do balloons. And then April 21st is at Bibles, Books, and More from 11 to 2, and that's going to be where there's going to be experts there, and people will be able to come if they have questions or they just want to talk. That would be a great place for adults to come. We have it actually kind of more when kids are going to be at school. It's on a Wednesday. And April 24th, 11 to 1, is going to be at Bog Bean, and that's going to be pretty informal.
You know, what I'd like to do is, now that you've got your experts put together, invite you back with your panel there. And let's do we'll do a whole segment here. Let's talk about autism. I've had a lot of questions. I'm sure a lot of other people do on autism and our children. You know, I've heard anything that, you know, vaccines have caused it, you know, that caused the rise in it, foods, the type of foods, you know, that we eat. And it could be and just any number of things. And this way we can talk about, you know, myths that have started, you know, why is it more? And one of the things you explained is that they've started diagnosing it at different levels now, where it'd be much slighter than it was before. But I think this would be a good show for it.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. We've got a couple more rowdy guests out in the waiting room right now. We'll have to pull them in, corral them in. KCNR, 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. We had an altercation out in the waiting room. And these two gents were out there, and they were wild and crazy. We finally got him in here, though. The Military Order of the Purple Heart, Gunnery Sergeant, really Master Sergeant, Bill Phelan, and Jim Burke. And you two are here for a certain reason.
We are indeed, Carlin. Thank you once again for having us and helping us promote our annual golf tournament. This is the time of year when we play a little golf and raise a little money for the veterans and their families, and we are much appreciative for you and Miss Linda's good help in letting the people know that our event will be Saturday the 17th of this month, a week from Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m. shotgun start at Gold Hills Golf and Country Club, and we're looking forward to everybody showing up and having a great time and doing a lot of good charitable work for our veterans and their families.
Now, I caddied, and you played a couple years ago with Bay.
You know, caddying is kind of a loose term.
I think it's an art form, if you ask me.
You drove the cart and said, it's cold out here.
It was so cold on the ninth hole, and one of the things I kind of like about the charity golf tournaments is, go ahead, you guys, we're behind time. Skip a hole. And it was so cold, but it was so beautiful. You raised a lot of it. It was beautiful out there. And so what can we look forward to this year, Bill?
Well, about the same thing, except I don't know if you're going to be out. You and Mrs. Bay graciously sold a ton of I think you guys made around $2,000 just selling raffle tickets. And us ugly Marines couldn't have done that. And so it was a blessing to have you there and have you support us.
Well, thank you.
One of the things that people don't realize is where the money that you all raise goes to.
You know, I brought a friend. Jim Berg is going to be our next commander, hopefully. And Jim is a retired police officer, and he is a former United States Marine. He was wounded in Vietnam, got his Purple Heart in Vietnam, like a lot of good Marines and soldiers. And Jim can tell you a little bit about what we're going to do and where the money's going to stay. It's all going to stay here in the county.
Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you recall, a couple months ago, you helped us out with a lady whose car broke down, and her husband was deployed,
yes.
Corporal deployed in Iraq. And this was some of the activities that we get involved in helping the veteran's family. She simply did not have the money to repair her vehicle, and she lived in Washington. So we took it upon ourselves to fix the vehicle. We drove it up to her, and she was just outstandingly appreciative of that. And that's kind of like when we do a lot of work with the VA Medical Center. We purchase high-ticket items. We've purchased a $4,400 drill, dental drill, compressor-type
X-ray machine.
X-ray machine,
yeah. It's a diagnostic stool.
That's what it was.
Takes care of the gums.
And it's just things like that that we do.
You've provided a van, too, haven't you? Didn't you all buy a van to serve?
Yeah, that was our initial. And we sort of co-ventured that with some of the other veteran service here, but they did graciously put our big logo up on front. But what had happened, at one time we had to go to Martinez to get treatment. We didn't. This clinic wasn't that big. And I used to drive one day a week to Martinez. It was like a 15-hour day, down there and back in one day, taking guys down for their appointments and bringing them back. And one of our drivers got to Corning, and there was a veteran in a wheelchair, and he had to leave him in Corning because the government-provided van would not accommodate the wheelchair. So we got to thinking, that ain't right, you know. These guys deserve medical help. They did their bit, and now it's our time to help them. So we got together with some other veterans organizations, and we purchased this van with two hydraulic wheelchair lifts on it. So that way nobody can ever be left behind.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, this event is going to provide, you're going to get green fees, range balls, two carts per foursome, contest, of course, a tri-tip chicken dinner, with the award ceremony and a raffle. And it is, again, April 17th. Where do we get tickets? And, of course, we are pledging that we're going to sponsor a hole.
Linda, also, I should put this on the brochure because every year we have provided a collared golf shirt. And I should put that on there simply because if there are extraneous sizes, 2X, 3X, we need to know because we have to pay a little extra for them, and I don't want to overbuy. But if you anybody's planning on playing and they are 2X or 3X, write that on the entrance form, and we will make sure that you get a nice collared shirt with a Purple Heart logo on it. And my cell phone is 339-5449, area code 530, or you can contact Jeff Tomlinson, the golf professional at Gold Hills. And I think his phone number is on there too, Linda. You have that. I don't.
His phone number is 246-7867. That's 246-7867. And if you are just driving and can't remember, come by the station here at KCNR here.
God bless.
1326 Market Street, and we'll have some flyers for you because
we'll put this on our website.
We want to see you guys
on
out there.
On Free Fire Radio website. We'll put it out there so you can.
It was really fun. I can tell you, 2 years ago when we went, it was a great event. And
it rained last year, and it was a challenge, an ordeal. But you know, surprisingly enough, a lot of people finished. But we're expecting great weather this year, and we're expecting to do great things for our. I tell you, our veterans and their families right now are. I know these are hard economic times, and I know that people have to be prudent with their charitable dollar. But we are just, well, God bless and thank you for anything you can do for us, and we do appreciate it.
This money goes to the veterans, and this goes to help those that have helped our country, have served our country. Now, which hole does Free Fire Radio get?
Your choice, Colonel. You tell me what hole you want your sign on, and it'll be there.
What hole do you want?
Let's go out. Let's start with number one.
Number one.
Got it. Oh, you got it.
That's okay,
right.
Now you.
Because we are the best talk radio station around.
let's talk about that wonderful coin. You explain that.
Well, let's take a quick break first, and we can. Otherwise, then the people that put us on. We'll be just a little bit upset if we just kind of just skip over the commercials completely. Carl and Abbott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Botter. Phone lines here are 605. We've been talking about the Military Order of the Purple Hearts annual golf extravaganza.
Hoo-ha.
At the... Gold Hills Golf and Country Club is going to start on April 17th at 1 p.m. with a shotgun start. It costs for an individual, it costs $100 to play. But, of course, this is all tax deductible.
Yes.
If you want to sponsor a hole, it's $150. You can put a foursome together for $380. This includes a collared shirt. It includes dinner. It includes practice range balls. It includes the carts. It includes everything. You just have to show up there with at least one club. And, you know, in fact, when we were playing, the last time I played with some people, they said, well, you know, you should go out and play with Dale. He's really fun to play with. And it's easy to play with because he only uses a 7-iron. That's it. He used a 7-iron for the whole 18 holes.
What time is what time does it start? What time do you have to arrive?
Well, you can get there. There's unlimited range balls. There's a nice putting green out there. There's a nice chipping area. We've got sand traps to chip on. And so if you want to loosen up and just meet and greet some people and have fun, any time, I'd say after. We're going to try to tee off at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's good.
But you can get there at 11, 11:30, whatever, and loosen up, hit some range balls, and shake some hands. And
well, you know, I'd like to thank you very much, too. I was presented a coin. I mean, it's a challenge coin. A challenge coin, for people that don't know what that is it started, years ago, decades, who knows how long, what it stands for or when it started. But what it is, it's a coin that organizations, military, it was started out usually military, but it's other organizations now that they make a coin that's stamped with what they believe in, their logos, and they, you know, it's an honor to get these. And the Military Order of the Purple Heart gave me a challenge coin here today. It's for military merit. It's wounded by the hands of the enemy. I do not rate the Purple Heart. I was not awarded the Purple Heart.
You signed your name. You put you signed
but
your
chip. But thank you very much for this. I am very, very deeply honored by this.
You're welcome,
Colonel. Any person that served, regardless of what capacity, the day you hold up your hand and swear allegiance to the Constitution, you give a blank check to the federal government, to your commander in chief.
Yeah.
Where you go depends not on you. Where you go depends on the powers that be. So we respect anybody who served honorably, and we bless them. And also, our organization helps anybody who served honorably. You do not have to be a combat wounded veteran to get help from our organization. If you served honorably, or your family or your children need anything, and we can help, that's the whole purpose of our being.
That is so awesome. And you know what, Bill? You are this always beacon, this beacon of light, that just the incredible energy that comes and walks to the door, and people know just from your voice, hey. I'm like, hey, Bill's on the phone. And, it's very easy to say yes to you and the Order of the Purple Heart for all that you've done for our country. Thank you so much. And, again, we are going to challenge all of you out there. We're going to sponsor a hole. For those people who are not going to walk a mile in her shoes and high heels like Carl is going to do on Saturday, he is.
Excellent.
We tell you, if he can do it, you can do it.
I'd pay to see that.
Well, some people, they are. $100 for...
Some people are paying to see that.
Somebody's paying $100 for... Jerry's paying $100 for him to wear a feather cap. And somebody's paying $100 for the feather boa. And he's walking a mile in her shoes. Yeah, pearls. $50 for pearls. It goes on and on and on. And Carl is such a good sport because, you know, it's for raising awareness, and as well as this golf tournament on Saturday. So, gentlemen, good luck, and we will be there to support you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And God bless.
Oh, God bless you. Okay, starting at 8 o'clock on the next segment, we've got a number of things happening. We have some people calling in. We have a guest here that's going to be talking about an event that's beginning this weekend. And we're also going to be talking about things that I've just observed in the last couple weeks, maybe last month. Starting out with things that are happening around town and then working my way up. But, you know, let's just give one here. I think we've got a couple minutes here. You know, Patrick Jones, Mayor Patrick Jones and his trip. Somebody needs to tell everybody, let this one go. Patrick Jones went back to Washington, D.C. He met with Boxer, Feinstein, and several others to talk about having the Oasis Interchange, getting money for that. He took money because he thought it was okay from a developer, so it would cost the city nothing. As it turns out, that was a mistake. What did Jones do? Did he try to hide it? Did he try to fight it? No. Mayor Jones paid the money, $2,800, right out of his paycheck, and trust me, that hurt. But he did it, and maybe he didn't understand the first part, but he sure understood the second part, that hey, you need to pay this back. You know, it's a gift. Take care of it. Why shouldn't have that just been it? Why did the city staff fight him so hard? Why did the city staff want him away from the voting? Well, in my opinion, that was a huge mistake. You know, Jones made the first mistake, an admission, not because he's trying to get away with anything. It was an admission. He made it good. And we'll address this when we get back. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fry Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome to our second segment, our second hour. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. Can they get a hold of you on the internet today? At Linda at KCNR1460.com.
Currently, today's going to be a high of 66. With a north-northwest wind between 5 and 11 miles. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 41. North-northwest wind between 13 and 18 miles per hour with gusts of up to 24 miles per hour. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And let's go back to where you were before we took a break.
Okay, I was just talking about Patrick Jones. It's one of those things that, you know, if a politician does something purposefully, and he does, and he tries to avoid it. Then he tries to cover it, and then he tries to throw dust in the air. Then that's wrong. And then, you know, somebody should be hammered for it. You know, Jones made the trip. Somebody brought up the fact that, hey, you know what? You can't do this. It's considered a gift. Jones immediately paid the cash. All right, he made a error in thinking that he could do it, but then he made it right. And then all of a sudden, you can't vote on this issue. Why? Why was that? Why does the staff want to keep him off? And by the way, who does the staff work for? They work for the city council. And who does the city council work for? Works for us. So, you know, for this to go on, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is the fact that it's happened over the last couple of weeks, and there's still people making little comments about it, so I guess I'm in that group there. We've got somebody on the phone here. Let's see. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to line 12. Greg, how are you doing?
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. We're great. Thanks.
Yeah, good. By the way, I enjoyed the segment this morning with the author who was talking about autism. I had a wonderful opportunity recently through displaying some of the Art Hop artists through my business to meet a young man, 15 years old. His name is Kyle, who is a high-functioning autistic young man. I'll tell you what, we've got some talented artists in this area, but I think he is truly one of the best at the age 15. And I'll tell you what, he's a pretty sharp young kid, and he wants people to know about his autism and to learn more about it. And he's actually, he displays some of the traditional symptoms of autism, but by the same token, he really wants to break past some of those social barriers, and he is really working hard at doing that and interfaces beautifully with many people given the opportunity.
Well, you know, it's why we want to have devote a whole segment to this. It's with, you know, the experts. You know, there's a lot of myths out there. I remember a lot of people were pulling their children out of the vaccine program saying that because of the types of vaccines that it was causing a rise in autism. You know, it was nice to hear Carol say that, well, what they're doing, it's the way it's being diagnosed, where they're looking at different levels than they did before. That has probably caused, an increase in it. But also, is there things in our environment that we could help, you know, by avoiding that would help prevent autism? I don't know.
Well, and I think we have to get past the stigmatizing of handicaps as, you know, somehow or another disadvantage. This young fella is extraordinarily bright. Anyone who saw the movie some years back with Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, some of these kids that are not quote-unquote normal in many cases far exceed the normal intelligence of our public out there, and I would challenge them to really consider them anything but very, very unique and special.
Well, hey, Greg, thanks for the phone call. But I think you called in for, you wanted to talk about something else too, though, right?
Absolutely. Tonight, we, the Bostonian Tea Party, we are hosting a Meet the Candidates evening. This is our first one in a series, and this is for the U.S. House. We do have scheduled definitely Pete Stiglitz to be there. We are still hopeful that Wally will show up, though just a little over a week ago we got a communique after all of our advertisement was out and going that apparently, well, this is in a nutshell what it says. Thank you for contacting Congressman Herger's campaign to invite the congressman to participate in the primary forum you have scheduled for April the 8th. It has long been Congressman Herger's practice to debate opponents of the other party in the general election. He intends to employ that same standard during the election cycle. Now, it strikes me as a bit interesting that since we made our initial contact with John Peace of the campaign back in February, mid-February, and have had many communiques with them, both email and by phone, with both John Peace and Dave Muir, that if this is in fact a policy, which would denote to me that they stand on this, they always have stood on this, et cetera, I would have thought it courteous to let us know long before that, hey, thank you very much for the invitation, but, you know, it's kind of our policy not to do this. So maybe we can do something else. Also, when we made the initial contact back in February, the whole premise in contacting them early was to get their involvement to help us define what type of a side-by-side engagement would meet the criteria of the candidates. So, I don't know, have a little bit of frustration with the way that this has unfolded.
Well, you know, to me, it's, you know, that even if the other candidate is within the same party, it seems to me that a debate so that we can define what both candidates stand for within the party. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's intramural warfare, and it's only going to help the other side. You know, I'm not sure about that. I think it helps define what Congressman Herger is going to do these next 2 years, because this is a very turbulent time, and I'd like to hear what his plans are, what he's planning on doing on the veterans and such. And, you know, and Pete Stiglitz is a conservative type that can, you know, well, could push him, but at least have him define things. I don't know. I just think that if you're running for office, that you take on all comers. It's kind of like being the champion of the world, you know? The world's heavyweight champion. You mm-hmm. just take them all on. But that's
well,
me.
And I do think that you kind of hit the nail on the head in this regard. Campaigns, whether they are primary or general, are for two reasons. Number one, not only to select the best candidate possible, but also to give an opportunity for their constituents to help to frame and shape and set the planks of the platform for the party. So it's the best opportunity to really dialogue with these candidates and give them a piece of our mind to let them know what we expect of them.
Yeah.
If they don't make themselves available, tell you what, that does not bode well, I think.
Oh. Okay, now where's this going to be at?
It's tonight, McLaughlin Auditorium, 1805 Sequoia Street, Sequoia Middle School. It's just south of 44, the same exit that you would take for Turtle Bay or for the Convention Center, which is there, except it's on the south side, not the north side of 44. Google it or take your GPS along. It's really pretty easy to find from there.
Okay.
600-seat theater-style seating, beautiful auditorium. And we're there, ready and waiting. There will be two podiums there. We certainly hope Wally shows up.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Greg, for your phone call. And, we'll talk to you later. Let us know what happened.
Great. All right, excellent. Thanks,
right.
Carl. And we look forward to you guys on the 15th, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you.
The walk across the bridge.
Well, yeah.
All right.
We'll talk more about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thanks
right,
a lot, Greg.
You. Thanks. Bye.
Got to take a break. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Redding. Are you walking like an Egyptian? It's 8:17 in the morning. Yeah, it's April 8th. This is Carla Lindabad here on KCNR 1460. Oh, gosh, I can't believe we were talking about the day. We were getting the dates all confused and everything, but you know, it's so beautiful out. We are loving it. So many events that are going on this weekend. We are taking your call, 605-4567. As a matter of fact, we have Gary on the line. Good morning, Gary. You are on KCNR.
Good morning, and I'll say it right up front. Herger has taken a page out of other congressmen's book, many of them Democrats. He doesn't want to face the people. And the smoke screen of this is their policy, that's all it is a smoke screen. And because of this, I've convinced two wavering voters that Herger is not the person to vote for because of this. So maybe some other people will see it the same way.
Yeah, you know, Gary, I can't say that Herger hasn't done things for the North State, but I agree.
And in your position, yeah. you don't want to, and neither does Greg. So that's why I called. I'll say it, and it's time. 22 years, he's been there, and he was part of trying to outspend the Democrats. It's time for a change, and I like Pete. I like what he says. I like his mannerism. And for sure, when you see his stature, he has some backbone.
Well, you know, and again, I go back to what I said. If you're going to be the man, you got to be, you know, you got to act like the man. And that means you take on all comers. If it's a, you know, this is a viable gent running against him. He's got a viable campaign, Pete Stiglitz does. Then you face him head on. You say, these are the differences, you let the people handle it. And then you go on to the Democrats and you whack them. You know, it's just the fact is that you're the, to avoid it is wrong.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Exactly. So thank you very much.
All right, Gary.
You have a great day.
Thank you. You
great
too.
Great programs as usual.
Thanks, Gary. It's always great to hear your input.
Bye.
We have a special guest in the house. I keep saying in the house. It's like, who won the house? You know, some kind of rock concert here? And, you know, anyway, no. So in the station today is?
As our guest, Carl Hawkins. And Carl's going to be, well, he's a small businessman.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We're going to talk about you and your business and something. You've got something really special coming up for the next 2 weekends. But we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to hit all of those subjects.
Can we say howdy?
Howdy.
Carl Lindabad, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Carl and Lindabad on KCNR 1460 AM, clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. It's Carl Lindabad. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. It was nice for Dennis just to stop by and say that. He was traveling through. He stopped off, jumped, came in through the door, said, you know, said hello to everybody, and I think he's on his way back down to Santa Barbara.
Yeah, we're putting a call in to see if he's going to come up here. I'd like to get him at the Cascade and do a concert here. Wouldn't that be fun? I think it'd be so fun.
You know,
it's so timely.
Yeah. And speaking of timely and fun people, Carl Hawkins, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Thanks for having me here.
Hey, another one of our small businesses here. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Who is Carl Hawkins?
I don't know. I'm pretty tired this morning, so I have to dig back in the resources. Carl Hawkins is tired. That's right. It happens once in a while. I don't drink coffee because I'm naturally caffeinated. But this morning I am a little tired. Let's see. Where does it start? Well, I'm basically from the construction industry. I used to be a general contractor and a roofing contractor. For those of listening, that is a B license and a C39 specialty license, two separate licenses. And I was a small business owner over in Humboldt County. I had my own construction business, grew up in the trade since I was 10, mixing concrete, putting together walls with my dad, and that's where it started. And I used to have people that were in marketing come into my business all the time, trying to sell me the latest and greatest product to promote my business, to support the firefighters, the kids with cystic fibrosis, the kids with cancer. You just get hit up as a small business owner all the time for money. And as a small business owner, money is precious. So 2007, started watching the economy head the way that it was heading, and took a couple hits, but nothing, you know, that would sink us. And talking with the wife about it, and we had about 30 employees at that time, and prayed about it, and just decided, you know, I didn't want to
do this next wave with the construction and the recession that was coming and just, you know, all that infighting, if you will, again, for jobs. And, you know, I really just developed a desire to try to help and assist small businesses, and because I kind of saw what was coming. So we took a step of faith, if you will, and liquidated our construction business. We held on to one employee who could continue to do any kind of work that came up that was still under warranty for our 2 years left that we had stuff that was on warranty. So we kept that around, didn't have to use it, but we kept them on board, and started shifting our money into starting up basically a marketing business. And our first and primary focus was helping contractors. So we moved to Reading, where she's from, born and raised here, and we started the Local Builder Showroom and Around the House Magazine, which is a very inexpensive and affordable way for contractors to promote themselves and also give the community a place to come and find quality contractors, see their work on display all year long, and get firsthand advice from the contractors, kind of like what the Builders Exchange does for contractors, generally for like big state and federal jobs with bid packages and stuff. We help the homeowner. They can come to us with anything from a remodel to a new construction home. They can walk through our virtual house on display and pick out the different textures they want, color schemes, stuff like that. And we help them put together bid packages and all sorts of stuff.
Tell us about your showroom. Tell us about your showroom. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I've walked through the showroom.
Okay.
That it is. I mean, you can see, you know, there's showers there. There are bathrooms. There's literally, like you said, a house with all with different types of decorations in it.
Yes, different types of stucco. There's four different kitchens inside there, and each one of them has a different look, a different feel. So it's not like when you'd walk into your house. Most houses have like kind of like one theme, or you know, or they might have a dining room or a living room that kind of has a different theme. But but it's kind of intertwined. Ours, it's not done to where they bounce off of each other, but they're all different, but they blend together. And you can come in there and just get different ideas. And it's a place now for contractors as well that participate with us. They can send their clients there to look at their products and services before they get the job or even during the job to kind of determine what they want. Just yesterday we had someone in there, Bill with Progressive Drywall, sent one of his customers down there. He's getting ready to start a job, and she was walking the showroom looking at the different textures she wanted because she wanted to figure out the one that she exactly wanted. And so she was down there and picked out the Tuscan Old World from our main kitchen area and dining area, and she went back and told Bill. And so it's a place, you know, when you're a contractor, you either have pictures that you show people, which most of the time we're too busy to take pictures, or you have addresses, you know, send them here, send them there. And then you're a homeowner, you're sitting there looking through binoculars at people's houses. It's just awkward, and it's weird, you know. And so,
well, it's really awkward if people see you looking at people's houses,
yeah,
through binoculars.
Where, you know? Especially if you're in a tree.
And then you start mooing at them.
Yeah.
But where is the showroom?
The showroom is, I tell everybody, we're in the corner of Reading and Anderson, because literally we're at the corner of Airport and Dersh Road, where Churn Creek and Dersh intersect. Most people don't realize that. So when we tell people Churn Creek and Airport, they kind of scratch their head, unless they've lived here 30-plus years. So we're basically 1 mile south of Kent's Meats and Groceries on Airport Road, right there with Lassen Landscape Materials, Solid Rock Construction, that big yard. And it's real easy to find. And you can come down there, and we're there 5 days a week where you can just tour at your leisure. And then this weekend we're doing a big home and garden expo where we're bringing in a whole bunch of extra contractors. And what's cool about our show, it's not as big as the convention center or the fairgrounds, if you will, because we don't have a lot of the fluff. One of the reasons, we don't have chiropractors in there and insurance salesmen and lots of different things like that for a home show. Not that there's anything wrong with those businesses, but in a home show, we feel it should be really geared towards home. So our slogan has always been, since I started our magazine, The Local Builder in Humboldt County, which is now called Around the House, by the builders, for the people. The whole premise of what we do is to educate homeowners of what they're purchasing, what they're doing ahead of time, so that way when you're working with them as a contractor or whoever they're working with, it's going to be a lot smoother process.
Any hot tubs?
There are going to be hot tubs there. There's going to be pools there. There's going to be heating and air displays there. I mean, that's what's, when you come down there, what's great about it is there's a house built there. You've never been to a home show before unless you've been to Vegas, where there's actually a house with a working air conditioner in it, full trim, door, you know, a landscaped waterfall in the backyard, and all this is on display all year long. But the community really hasn't seen it yet because we just opened last year on 9/11. That was our opening day. So we're going to have a NASCAR show car down there on the second weekend. People can come tour. We have a couple die-cast metal cars, hand-autographed, personally autographed by Kyle Busch and Kyle Petty that we're putting off in a raffle to help the Good News Rescue Mission as well. I mean, just everything we do down there, it's contractor-based. And that's the other thing about our home show is that it's the only home show in Shasta County that's free for the general public to come to. And it's the only one in Shasta County that's actually owned and operated by people in the industry. We're not promoters. We know our business, so we hand-select who's down there and what products and services, because not everything you see in a home show you should be putting in your house. Trust me. Trust me.
Oh, really? When we come back from our break, let's talk about maybe, just hypothetically, what a few of those items could possibly be that we might see, you know, magazine style or a visual that looks like it's beautiful, but we get it home and it's like maybe it has to do like that kind of internal vacuum cleaner that they did years ago, you know, where you plugged in the hose and every house had one. But
the central vac systems?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Is that like that was one of those red flag systems at one time? You shouldn't do that?
No, not actually. Oh. The central vac systems aren't generally too bad. Some people, with any product, you can have some problems. But,
all right.
Okay, we've got
it. I see the fingers rolling. We're going to take a break right now.
I mean, it's going to take a break. That's right. It's Carl and Bot. Our guest is Carl Hawkins. We're going to try and take control of the show battery at one point. Carl and Bot, Free Fire Radio, clearly news talk, really. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're talking to Carl Hawkins, local builders, and he's having a home and
home and garden. Expo. Yeah. Well, we're right there with Lassen Landscape Materials too. So I mean, we're actually building a virtual backyard display as well, when people show up. So
it's, you know, it was and it was just fortuitous that your commercial was playing right there.
Yeah, when
you
came perfect
back
time.
Yeah. Okay. The you were talking about a magazine you have too.
Yes.
What exactly is that?
It's called Around the House, and it's a magazine which is all local contractors sponsor it. And it's a, I don't know if you want to call it a home improvement magazine, but it's a magazine that educates the local community, kind of like Better Homes and Gardens, but it's all local. And so it's called Around the House Magazine, and it deals with everything around the house. And during Christmas, our Christmas issue, we had a bunch of recipes in there. Spring, this issue is called Hang In With the Pros, and it's just filled with different small tips all over the place for you concerning your home and garden projects. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, and we're actually getting ready to go green with it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So how are you going to do that?
How are we
going to
do that? Well, you know about the whole Earth and Watershed Festival that's coming up. We're sponsors of that on the, I think it's the 24th or 28th. It's somewhere in there. Yeah, 24th. Yeah, it's 24th. There we go. And so what we're doing is we've decided this year to go ahead and go green with our publication, which what we're going to do is we are going to produce a digital magazine. And now it's not a PDF file that you kind of download and just look at PDF files on Adobe, if you will. This is an actual magazine where you can flip the pages. It has hot links in it to where it'll actually take people to other people's websites through the magazine. And it reduces the printing cost and also the footprint, if you will, of using paper for a magazine. Since the whole world's really going digital, we're deciding to make that change this year and kind of set a new standard, if you will.
Oh, that's interesting. And when's that going to
be? We're going to launch that this summer for our summer edition. And what's cool about it is people can then forward it to anybody they want. And, you know, right here locally, we send it out to our mailing list, and then they can pass it on to their friends, and people can read it, enjoy it, store it as long as they want.
And you can download articles out of it.
Yeah, you can download articles. And what's also great is we can, for the people that advertise in it, we can put videos in it, all sorts of things. And when they're reading an article, instead of just looking at it in your magazine, their company name will be a link. And so people, while they read the magazine, as long as they're tuned in online as well, they can click on it, and it will take them right now to their website or to article information online, all sorts of great stuff you can do with it. So it's going to be really fun.
Well, great. We'll have you back on when you launch that so that we can link that to our website, tell people about it. But let's go back to the show this weekend, the home show.
Okay.
Let's tell people again where it is, what time it is. Of course, we're driving home that it's free.
Free.
So what are the hours?
9 to 5. And it's
on Saturday
and Sunday. It's a two-day event, free parking, free admittance. It's right on the corner of Airport and Dirsch, 1 mile south of Kent's Meats and Groceries. You come down there, Kent, as anybody who's been here long enough knows, Kent's tri-tips and his sandwiches, and we are going to be serving those down there. He's hooking us up with the barbecue, the marinated tri-tip, everything. So thank you once again, Kent, for allowing us to have that down there. And it's 1 mile south of Kent's Meats and Groceries on Airport Road. You can't miss it. We have a big construction sign out there telling people where it's at, big parking lot across the street. It's gonna be fun. And then we have Anselmo Vineyards help sponsor the event. So there's gonna be some wine tasting at different times down there. They're gonna be there. We got a lot of cool stuff that's gonna be happening.
About how many vendors would you say that you've got that will be there?
We have, on a year round basis, we have 40 vendors on display all year long. On this event, we have approximately 60.
Okay.
So yeah.
So you can see everything that you probably wanted to ever know about construction.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Tupperware's down there, Pampered Chef as well, log furniture, landscaping materials, landscapers, roofing, skylights, heating, air, gutter toppers, gutter. I mean, yeah. and what's great, like we said, is these are people that a lot of them have been established in the community for a long time as well, and it's an opportunity for you to just meet with the contractors, talk with them, and we don't feel that you should have to pay $5 or $4 a head to go talk to contractors. I mean, it's just, to us, that just seems unreasonable.
What's the name of the show?
It's called the Local Builder Home and Garden Expo, Spring 2010.
Great. That's simple and yeah. Right at it. Well, thank you, Carl, for being our guest again. It's the Local Builder Home and Garden Show, free this weekend, Airport in Dirsch. That is from, did you say 9 to 2?
9 to 5.
9 to 5, Monday, Saturday and Sunday.
This weekend and next weekend,
that's
too.
Right.
So it's not just a one-weekend event. It's this weekend and next weekend. It's 2 weekends. So that way, if you can't make it the first weekend, you can schedule to be there the next weekend as well.
Yeah, let's support another one of our local businesses here. You know, this is, again, it's all local contractors, all local businesses, and it's you know, you may not be building a house, but now it's time maybe to do a little rework on your house, and this is where to go to find out from the experts what you need to do, where you can start looking.
Yeah, and you can come down, and we'll give you free advice and direct you towards the proper contractors. And If you don't mind, I'd like to thank just a couple local businesses who made this possible.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Everything we do is,
yeah.
One of the things we brag about is there's not one Home Depot or Lowe's nail or screw or board inside of our showroom. It's all local people. And so we thank them for that. I mean, and so, you know, we have great businesses like Weaver Lumber that have helped us out. Kent's Meats and Groceries, obviously, Shasta Creations, Cresco Equipment Rentals, J&J Pumps, Lyro Printing, Gallagher's Heating and Air, and the list really just goes on and on and on. So
Right. Come
down, show your support, meet them, talk with them, tell them thank you, if nothing else.
Local businesses, the money stays here, my friends. Hey, thank you, Carl, so much for being on the show today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's Pre-Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Carl on the bot, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Tobacco.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl Lindabot. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Finest tobacco emporium here in the North State. Great walk-in humidor, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley support our community. They support the veterans. I think it's a great place to hang out at. Okay. You know, I've got like 20 minutes left, so just, you know, hang on. Grab all your phones here. You know, things that I've noticed over here over the last few weeks that kind of irritate me. You know, the latest one was when they were talking about putting parking meters on Sacramento Street and charging people. Well, we got an email from somebody that does business down there. Said, oh, that's great. That's just what we need. Let's just kill off the rest of the business there by putting it in parking meters. As it turns out, the city council voted against that, according to the paper, that they will put slots down there, parking slots, but not parking meters, which to me seems like a good idea. There's still parking meters in various spots in the city that is an onerous duty to run out there and keep putting quarters into. What do you think about what the Obama administration has achieved over the last couple months? Health care bill? That's going to cost over $1 trillion. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the Congressional Budget Office says, because they use a weird kind of accounting that they've even said themselves, that first of all, they're using for accounting things that happens in the future. That that's going to, you know, that supposedly will be a money coming in. But how do you know? I mean, how can you project 10 years in the future? How can you project a year in the future? Take a look at our economy right now. But it doesn't, and all these changes that are supposed to be great don't start till 2014, many of them. Some of them do. Cuts to Medicare, we're talking about that. Cuts to doctor salaries. Possible a ruination of private health insurance companies. And let me give you an example of this. What if I've got a home and somebody come and I go up to a insurance company that insures homes and say, I want a $500,000 policy on my home. I said, okay, let's take what's it appraised at? Well, it's not appraised very much because, you know, it just burnt down yesterday. You know, should they be forced to give me insurance? Well, under the new plan, if you come up with existing conditions, and that could be anything. I mean, that could be getting a car wreck the day before. You know, you've got to be given insurance. Now, I know they're trying to work this out and how they're going to do that, but still. Federal funding for abortions. I'm not sure how that works, except President Obama has said in an executive order written that no federal funds will be used for abortions. I hope that they hold to do that. I mean, it was the part of the Hyde Amendment there that kept federal funds from being used for abortions. But if I read things in there that shows that there are ways around that, as there usually are. The Fed's taking over the student loans. I'm not sure how that got into the health bill and the health care bill, but it happened. So that's in there. You know, this whole thing just smacks of me of being pushed and pushed. And the majority of the people, if you believe, you know, four or five different polls, didn't want that. So how did that happen? No, did the health care need to be fixed? Parts of it did, obviously. Parts of it did. But all of it? I mean, and the cost of this. You know, the fact is they're still going to pay out another $200 billion to doctors. You know, and the other thing, too, you add 13 million or 30 million or whatever the number is to the number of people seeing doctors, it's changing the system. Where are we going to get these doctors from? I mean, you can't just produce doctors overnight. It's not like a 12-week boot camp and another 6 months of occupational specialty training that you can turn out a military person. This takes years. Oh, so where are you going to get them? Other countries? Well, you know, guess what? I bet they thought of that. And look at they're comparing us to other countries about all these other countries. You know, they have their birth rate. Is better. You know, they have more live births. Well, you know, it's the way they count, too. I mean, it's apples and oranges. I'm just saying this. It seems like a lot, you know, that, you know, this kind of rankles me. It's upsetting me because I'm not sure everybody has signed on to it. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to do. I just know that it can cost us a lot of money. It can cost us doctors. It can cost us the health care that we've enjoyed. How about feds taking over parts of the auto industry of Chrysler, GM, along with the union? That bothers me. I never wanted to buy stock in GM. It looks like I have. That bothers me. That's part of our economy. I don't understand that one. The wars. You know, you can call them Bush's war. No longer. They're Obama wars. He's been in there a year. And what's happened? You see anybody being... You see any change in the strategy of the Bush administration? No change in Iraq. Well, maybe that's because Bush's strategy at the end worked. But people talk about, this is the Bush wars. Not anymore. Obama could have made a lot of changes. And what about Afghanistan? What exactly is the strategy there? More boots on the ground. Okay, we're going to handle that like we handled Iraq. Boots on the ground, give them security, right? What's the exit policy on this? Is there an exit strategy? How committed is President Obama to what's happening in Afghanistan? Let's go to the phones here. Jay, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I just wanted to make 2 points. One, you know, whenever the government pays the doctor, they always pay them way shorter than they would for a normal patient. So I imagine a lot of doctors. Get it. So not only are we going to have more demand, but we're probably going to have fewer doctors.
Hey Jay, let me. Are you on a cell phone right now?
You have trouble hearing me?
Yeah, you're breaking up. Do you have a? Can you call us back again? Let's see if we get a better connection.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. All right. Well, Jay's calling us back. It sounded to me like he was saying that doctors not going to be paid what they were before, and that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Let's go back to the war strategy in Afghanistan. You know, it's not apparent to me that Obama is committed to this. And, you know, Afghanistan is not going to be easy. And as you listen to our guest yesterday, Colonel Tim Garrity, who has the background and not only commanded in combat, but has also worked for different agencies and different businesses where he has this, is that this is going to be a long war. This is not going to stop. And in the middle of two wars, we go into let's change the don't ask, don't tell policy that's been in effect since the early 90s and has worked. Where did that come from? Where did that come from where in the middle of two wars, let's just drop something like this in there? I mean, what was the purpose of this? Does Obama even understand the ramifications of what that could be, of what that could do? This is the same man who asked the vets to use their own private insurance to pay for war wounds. You remember that one? And then he was appalled that people got upset about this. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I just got my left leg taken off in an IED in Iraq, and you want my private insurance to pay in the future for this? Like, a total lack of understanding, which kind of scares me. Let's go back to the phones again. Hey, Jay.
Can you hear me now?
Well, you know, it's difficult. But go on, let's try it. Come on.
I'll make it quick.
All right.
All right. 2 points. First one, we're going to have a greater demand with fewer doctors because the doctors aren't going to be paid well, and a lot of them are just going to sit, forget it, and quit and retire. Second thing, it's interesting when you actually look at their records, Obama and Bush have a lot in common. For instance, they have the same Secretary of Defense. They both were having the same military plan about out of Iraq into Afghanistan and Pakistan. And they both were for, the, you know, Bush did the S-CHIP program. Obama just did the big healthcare thing. And they both did bailouts. It's interesting when you actually look at the policies and get away from their hype and you realize that a lot of the policies were very similar.
Well, you know, and that's... And that's kind of a scary thing. I guess the next question could be is, has anybody seen Bush and Obama in the same room at the same time? But, it, you know, at least, even though Bush went in with the, you know, with the, for the pharmaceutical thing with the, you know, for the prescriptions, he never took on the entire healthcare system and, to change that. He, you know, what I see is so many changes at such a quick time. Does anybody understand the ramifications of what could happen here? Does anybody know the law of unintended consequences that you change 100 things at the same time? That something, you know, that could be an accumulation that puts us right down the drain?
Well, I think we got far more to worry about than that because it almost makes you feel like you're playing a game of Risk. And while you went to the bathroom, the other guy came in and was running your team for you or something.
Yeah, you know,
you come back and everything's a mess.
Yeah,
you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, there's something like, oh wait a minute, somebody moved all of my markers here. What's going on? You know, it's, I don't know. Hey Jay, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Have a great day and thanks for your patience with the phone.
Oh no, hey, no problem. You know, before we take a break here, what about the nuclear disarmament package with Russia? What is going on with that? It's unclear to me if our warheads after this thing is signed are still going to be modernized. You know, I remember seeing a video, and I'm trying to find it, and our guys are trying to find it, that showed Obama back in like 2005, saying these are the things he would do when if he was ever elected. 2005, 2006. We're trying to find it, but one of the things was get rid of the the strategy, the missile defense strategy. Take down the number of nukes, just all these things that he said. Now, the fact is that we made the pronouncement. We're not going to use a nuclear weapon on a country that doesn't have nuclear weapons, even if they attack us with biological or chemical weapons. What is this? Why take away a deterrent like that? How many countries are trying to keep some of their crazies under control by saying, hey, look, they're going to come back at us? Well, unless you're on that short list of people like Iran when they did say is, you know, this, you know, we're not going to use nukes on somebody who doesn't have the nuclear capability except Iran and a few others. But I would believe that if a country comes at us with biological weapons, which could have even more severe consequences than a nuclear weapon, why we would take that off the table. We have a few more here. We've got to take a break. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindebach, and I'm just kind of finishing up with a few, you know, just thoughts. You know, health care, cuts to Medicare, Fed's taking over the General Motors, the wars that are still raging. You know, why don't we hear things from people that were after Bush's throat when it came to these wars? How come we're not hearing those things anymore from people? How come the people that scream that we're an imperialist nation yet support Obama? And what's going on there? Why don't they say, Obama, why don't we, you know, you said we're going to end the war. Well, as many other things President Obama said, he just didn't say when. It's like the health care. Oh, we need this health care. It's so important. We need it now. Well, it doesn't start now. It starts in 2014, much of it. How come the lawyers weren't up in arms about this? Oh, did you see anything in there about tort reform? What about the pharmaceutical companies? Didn't see anything from them. Even some of the insurance companies. So why aren't the insurance companies screaming? And what kind of deals were cut? What kind of backroom deals? And what about the transparency that Obama promised and then everything was done behind closed doors? What is all this? You know, frankly, if he just did what he promised, it would be interesting. But since he's gone beyond that, this nuclear disarmament is how much, you know, how much do we let go? How much of it is going to come back at us? To say we're not going to use something on the, you know, take something completely off the table could be scary. Cap and trade? Can you say cap and trade? Can you say how much that's going to cost us if this goes through with the cost of energy? President Obama said, okay, we're going to drill off the coast, the East Coast, and drill in more places. Well, where? And can he say that without environmental groups fighting it? How much can they fight it? They can shut down logging in private property. Can they shut down private companies from drilling? How hard will the federal government fight for that? And here's my favorite one in our last couple minutes. The EPA has said that you will have to have that your car in the future will have to get 36 miles per gallon. And what a great savings that will be in gasoline, and what a great savings that will be to the consumer, because it'll cost them a lot less. Of course, the car is going to cost $900 or $1,000 more, maybe more, we can't tell. But how can you tell how much gas is going to cost in 5 years? What if there is an incident in the Middle East and the price of oil shoots through the roof? What are you going to do then? At that point, do we start drilling here? Is that point we start using oil shale? Is that the part where we open up ANWR? Is that a point then? You know, the government, I guess what I'm saying, is getting so much more into our lives, and it just keeps growing every day. And what are we doing about it? Well, one of the things you see are groups getting together. And it doesn't have to be just Tea Party groups. It's all different types of groups that are saying, enough of this. Get the government back. Take a step back, government. Take a step back. How can you, as the government, force me to buy health insurance? How can you force me to buy a health insurance that, where does it say that in the Constitution? Some people will tell you, well, you know, if it's for the greater good of the people, then, you know, because then it can cross state lines, you know, for the whole health care plan, and this is one of the reasons why. How can they force you to buy a product? What's the next product they can force you to buy? What if they want you to buy a certain kind of vehicle that can only make, that can have so many miles to the gallon, and you can't buy something else? It can happen. Everything can happen if we don't watch what's going on. If we, the people, don't pay attention. If we, the people, don't get involved. If we don't, then we deserve what they're going to do. And government may not be sitting out there trying to hurt us, not on purpose, but eventually they want to just take care of us. And frankly, having the government take care of me totally scares me. Okay, I'll stand down now. Hey, our guest tomorrow from 8 to 9 tomorrow morning will be Jim Nielsen. We've got the town hall meeting tomorrow. We'll be talking about that. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. But which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.